Hey, great to see everyone here. I know it's a big day with the election and all, but this is more important. A view from the smaller campuses. Thank you for the opportunity. I have colleagues here, Doug Lindy, Delaware Valley University, and Paul Woosley, Western Kentucky University. So I'm going to represent the three of us. If you look at some of the data here, Delaware Valley University, just a little bit of the background, it was actually Delaware Valley College up until last year, then it became a university. And prior to that, just real quick, it's Doylestown, Pennsylvania is where it's located, suburb of Philadelphia, Bucks County. It was actually started by a rabbi to train young people to work in agriculture, farming in the late 1800s. And so it was always the Delaware College of Science and Agriculture. They dropped agriculture off, and now they dropped not a college, it's a university. So they went from a primarily agricultural college, now it's the focus is business and liberal arts and other degrees. That's another story for another time. My colleague at Western Kentucky University, and then I'm at Penn State at the Berks campus in scenic historic Reading, Pennsylvania. Now you see the number of students there, just to give you a comparison. Delaware Valley is a private university, sorry. Those faculty there are unionized, union faculty. At Western Kentucky and Penn State, we're not. Western Kentucky has around 20,000 students. At the Berks campus, we have 3,000 students. But, the little asterisk there, the total undergraduates at Penn State is around 71,000 and change. The undergraduates at University Park are over 40,000. And we have 19 campuses throughout the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, around 30,000 students. Berks campus is the third largest satellite campus or branch campus, whatever the terms we're using this week. So we see the turf faculty there, we have about one each. And me at the Berks campus, I'm the only turf faculty. There's one other faculty member who's ornamental horticulture, and one other person who's food science. So the three of us make up the ag faculty. And we're in the Division of Science there at the Berks campus. And that's a real hoot. Okay, we got physics folks in there, math, biology, microbiology, biochemistry, physiology, and the physics folks, they're all theoretical physicists. And then they got this, me and my colleague Dave Sanford, the ornamental horticulture, we're the campus gardeners. So we're in this, it's an issue. They understand research, they understand teaching. Extension or outreach, they don't know what it is. And my department head, he's a physicist, he still don't even know what I do to this day. But that's okay. But this gives you an idea of the three universities I want to share. So I've borrowed some slides from my colleagues just to highlight Delaware Valley University, again, Bucks County, a private institution, became a university. Now 1,600 undergrads, 80 faculty. It's a real gem there in Doylestown, in Bucks County, real nice. And Dr. Doug Lindy, he heads the turf program, and he's also the golf coach, the golf coach. I know he's a really good golfer. Not as good as Brandon, but he's pretty good. And he teaches several courses. We'll talk about the course load. And this is basically his enrollment, number of student enrollment since he started in the mid-90s. And the graduates, around 10 or so recently, and you see there was a dip there, as kind of reflects what Kale was showing earlier. So it's a small enrollment overall, around 25 or so, graduating 8 to 10 a year.
And these are all bachelor degrees.
These are all baccalaureate degree students, yeah, Del Valle, yeah. At Del Valle, they don't have a two-year associate degree program. They did years ago, but as Kale mentioned as well, they did away with them. So the past 2 years, again, this is a nice summary from Doug Lindy, but I think it also relates to myself and Western Kentucky. Very hot, heavy competition for all majors, right, in our high schools. In the Mid-Atlantic region, there are fewer high school graduates. I guess that depends really on the area in our Mid-Atlantic region. Tuition rising, institutions are willing to negotiate financial packages. That's more of his private institution perspective. Penn State is not negotiating at all. Okay, but obviously decreased enrollment in turf. There's a major skilled labor shortage in the golf industry. And this is from Landscape magazine, showed 45% of the respondents. The problem is the quality labor shortage. Where's the labor? So again, many millennials are willing to work They don't want to work long hours anymore. And in a way, you can't blame them. You hear guys in the industry, oh, I work 80 hours a week, I work 90 hours a week. The young people today, they would like a quality of life. Okay, I'd like to see my wife and children once in a while too, you know. So we have to, I guess, rethink that, really. But as Kayla and Eric mentioned, graduates, there's many opportunities out there. Many opportunities. At Western Kentucky, the enrollment's around 20,000. The location is in Bowling Green, right there off of I-65, which I did not know. But there's many majors. The turf program has around 25 students. And Paul did a good job developing their research facility. He has some great putty green, Bermuda grass. Has an equipment shop and a classroom. So there are some facilities there. My colleague Doug Lindy at Del Valle does not have, he has one small putting green that he maintains, or the students maintain, but he does not have any sort of teaching or research facility per se, as Paul does at Western Kentucky. And you can see there's a long list of courses that's offered there, which is good for those turf students.
So the other fun fact about Western Kentucky and Bowling Green is it is the site of the National Corvette Museum.
The National Corvette.
They had a big sinkhole like 2 years ago, swallowed up some Corvettes.
Ooh.
You're really trying to throw
me off. No, I'm thinking about it. Man, I can never afford a Corvette, but I bet Carl Danberg could. It's one of those cards. He always posts some pictures on Instagram. But in Western Kentucky, there's the ag mechanic instructor. He could be useful there. But here's the turf student projection there in Western Kentucky. Again, a similar trend as this. Kale showed at Purdue with the dip. And it's around, again, 25 student enrollment. Now, let's talk about something I know a little bit more about. Penn State Berks campus. Okay, we have around 130 tenure track faculty. And again, most are a 9-month appointment, as Paul and Doug's faculty at their respective universities. We're also all on 9-month appointments, except, obviously, folks in turf. I can't tell my turf grads don't grow in the end of May. I'll be back in September to see. So we have to work all year round anyway. But primarily at the Penn State Berks campus, the appointments is a teaching research appointment. I do an awful lot of extension and outreach, but it's not an official extension appointment. It counts as service, or it's folded into teaching. And what we're supposed to do is basically a course load of 3 and 3 courses in the fall, 3 in the spring. Same thing with Doug and Paul. Doug's usually a little more, 4 to 5 each semester. Paul's 3 or 4 each semester. I end up teaching sometimes 4 courses a semester instead of 3. Advising, all 3 of us do an awful lot of advising, not just turf students. And this might be a small campus thing. We advise students in many different majors. I've advised these in animal science, food science, vet medicine, wildlife and fishery science. So I have to figure out the curriculum for all those majors. It's not hard to do, but again, we're offered. For a while there, I was actually advising business students, for God's sake. So, you know, you just got to do what you got to do. Students need advising. So anyhow, and we also have many more faculty hired as 6-hour adjunct faculty, part-time faculty. More and more courses need to be taught. You're not hiring tenure-track faculty, they're just hiring fixed-term. That's kind of the interesting training. And right now at the Berks campus, we have over 25 baccalaureate degrees at the campus itself. So students typically start out in tertiary science, 2 years at the campus, and then the 3rd and 4th year at the University Park. They get retrained by Dr. Kaminsky and Dr. Landscoop, and graduate from there. And it works out really well, but more and more now these campuses are offering their 4-year degrees at the campuses themselves. So, and we also have Division III athletic. So we're seeing some competition for students. This is my turf grass facility, what I call Valentine East. And we had an event this summer at the Lawn Care Association of Pennsylvania, had a little field day, and I had to negotiate with Housing and Food Services to have an outside caterer come in to feed everybody. Housing and Food Services, they really run Penn State, right? They're the ones really in charge. We got that through excellent lunch. But this is where I try to recruit. This is a captive audience. These are parents. They have sons, daughters, or they know people that have sons and daughters, nieces, nephews. When I have them there for the turf education and all that research, I talk about the Berks campus. I talk about the Penn State turf program. It's a challenge dealing with the campus, recruiting office, the administration office, the admissions office. I say, hey, could you set up a little table, talk to them? this is out of their wheelhouse. They all they know was going to go to a high school or a middle school, set up a little demonstration, talk about Penn State. So no, these people pay tuition. Okay, they're who we need to talk to. So I take it upon myself to do my own sort of recruiting and get the message out. And it's been working. I've met with several parents and their children that come to Penn State Berk to start their career at Penn State Berk. Anyway, we get students involved in painting my building. There's a nice picture of mushrooms there. Students get involved. So to summarize, from a faculty perspective, at the small campuses, heavy teaching and advising duty work, but heavy. I don't make it any different than a large campus. I know Kale and Eric, you guys do a lot, of course. We teach a lot of courses, we have to advise a lot of students. And we're asked to teach more, not only residents, but also online. Cause look, teaching online is easy. You just got your PowerPoint, just put them online, it's fine. You're not going to do any work. Don't even start. Online course, I teach two courses online. I also teach, and Dave's going to talk about teaching courses outside of disciplinary. I teach a botany course for non-science majors. I teach a team teach a horticulture course. I'm asked to teach a 400-level plant biology course for the biochemistry majors. I'm thinking about that, depending on how much they pay me to do that. But again, we're asked to teach more courses, which is fine. The botany course I teach, I spend two lectures on turf management. I take the students out, about 100-some students. I take them to the ball field. We talk about athletic sports turf. Have I successfully recruited any students that way? No. None of those students want to change their major and go into turf, no matter how dynamic a speaker I am. Doesn't happen. But anyway, we teach outside of disciplinary. And at the small campuses, there still is a research expectation and to bring in to publish scholarly research and to bring in research dollars, of course. Extension outreach is desired, but I'm not sure the administrators understand what extension is or what the value is. Okay? We're a big fish in a small pond or a one-man show, which is good in one way, have our independence, but it's challenging in another way with a lack of resources or lack of support. Okay, real quick, I bought a John Deere Gator the other day with some field trial money I was throwing away. And the campus maintenance department said, oh, I see, can we use that this winter when we're plowing snow? So this is at the small campuses, we have to kind of share resources like that. I'm the only faculty member that supports the physical facilities at our campus. But that's okay, we'll do what we can. Anyway, it's the best. So the best thing is working and getting to know students. As many of you who teach or have taught, you know that. That's very rewarding. It's great to see students actually graduate, get jobs, and go on to have successful careers. Make a lot more money than me. That's great. But I want to say engagement at the small campuses, it's not automatic. Okay, it's not automatic. Just because you have a small class size doesn't mean we're automatically fully engaged and we're learner-centered. Because even a small class can feel like a large, very impersonal class. You have to really connect and engage with students. Okay, you have to strive to be learner-centered. Okay. At Penn State Berk's campus, the dean gave us this coffee mug. At Penn State Berk's a learner-centered college. It's official. We're learner-centered. That's all you need. If you get a coffee mug, we've got to get some leads to Krispy Kreme Friday. Yeah, we've got to get some coffee mug. But I want to say, at the smaller campuses, there is a lot of emphasis, I'm sure it's a larger campus too, tremendous emphasis on teaching workshops. We have one every in December at the end of the fall semester. We have one in May at the end of the spring semester. In the spring semester, we also have a writing across the curriculum workshop. There's a tremendous emphasis on always honing our teaching skills. They bring in outside speakers, try new techniques and workshops. So we're always encouraged to try new things, to become learner-centered or student-centered, whatever acronym is this week. But in that way, it's good. I think it helps me teach with technology. There's always one or two technology workshops a year that they try to have at the campus. And we are all encouraged to attend. I will say many faculty do. Many faculty do. We're always trying to learn new techniques. From a faculty's perspective and again a student perspective, the small class size really helps. Okay, students like that the courses are taught by a professor and not a graduate student. We get to know these students because of small class sizes. My turf class is around 10 students, 12 sometimes. And there is pressure also, Kale, for us have a minimum of 10 to 12 students per class. They talk about it every year, but so far it's not been a policy, and I hope it doesn't come to that way, because you brought up a good point. Some of our ag classes, they're just small classes. At the campus, it helps to make that transition from high school to college. Okay? Sometimes you gotta deal with these students. I have 5 children at home. I don't need any more children. But sometimes I gotta talk to them like that and try to help these kids. Some of these students struggle making that transition. We have many, many support resources for these students. We have a first year freshman seminar that helps with study skills, making that transition from high school to college. We have courses to improve their math and English skills. Before our TERF students take introductions in chemistry, the chemistry 101 class, they have to pass the math college algebra course. The math first, then chemistry. The success rate is much, much higher in chemistry doing it that way. That's been really helpful for our TERF kids that struggle with that chemistry and organic chemistry. Anyway, we have all these resources to improve learning skills once we get students there. And there's also opportunity for research, do some undergraduate research, work with me, i.e. mow my TERF plots. I call that research. Gain work experiences. This is like you, I get contacted through my colleagues at University Park about summer internships and summer jobs. That's great. I wish I had more students to fill them on. Opportunity for leadership to participate in clubs. But the issue I struggle with is recruitment. As ag and TERF are priority at my campus, their focus is the 4-year degrees offered at Berks. The College of Ag at Penn State University Park has been very good. Obviously, you have to recruit for the College of Ag and all those majors, but they do send students down to the Berks campus. At Penn State, our ag students, the majority of our majors are animal science majors, still a big dairy state, food science majors. That's a big major, food science. There's a lot of jobs in food science. So somehow we got to figure out how to get these students here. And once they're at the Berks campus, that first or second semester, they may struggle a little bit, but they're on the road to success. Anyway, that's the view from the smaller campuses in Frankie and Chalfant, on the outside looking in. But I'm very positive about our young people, about our millennials. They're very energetic. They're smart. They want to work hard. Sometimes they need to drive. That's okay. That's what I'm here to do at the Berks campus. And also my colleagues, Doug Lindy, shout out to Doug and Paul. They do an excellent job as well. The focus is obviously teaching, but we try to do it all. And at a small campus, you have to wear a lot of hats. Sometimes not very effective, but you got to wear a lot of hats anyway. All right. I think
so. Any questions for Dr. Fidanza?
Good, Randy. Mike, obviously you interact with your colleagues at University Park. How how integrated do you feel in that program in terms of the possibility of students going from Berks to University Park and being retrained by Dr. Kaminsky? Like, how integrated are you to that process?
Of my colleagues, they really can't stand me, but that might be true. No, it's actually seamless. For our students, the College of Ag, they have in the resident education office, they'll visit once a semester, to visit students, do some other extra advising, just specifically for the College of Ag. So we have a special session set up. And the advisor up at University Park, the main TERF advisor at University Park, Diane, Dr. Mead, they know my students at Berks, they have records of them, and they know when they come up, they know what they've had at Berks. And so it's a seamless transition. What I think is good at the Berks campus, we get the math courses out of the way, and the English, and some of the science courses. And then their junior year, they hit the ground running, taking the upper level TERF courses. So that's been fine. Penn State worked, to their credit, they did one thing right. They work well with the campuses. They work well getting those students through the 2 years and getting them up to University Park. Okay, you can't stop that tuition money from flowing. Okay, but they do a good job that way. And it's a lot easier now with our online system. I think it's called LinePath now. It's a change of the whole system. So all the students are all connected. So it works out well, and any job openings of it that come through Penn State University Park on TERF job, it also gets sent to the students at Berks campus. So that works out very well. And the students, again, I train them really well as best I can to get them ready for Dr. Lanskoop, Dr. McNitt, Dr. Huff, and Dr. Schlossberg. Yeah, I always say, you think I'm hard on you now, wait till these guys get you. And I don't think any of my students take Dr. Kaminsky's courses yet. No, not yet, anyway. Good.
You mentioned Dr. Lindy and Ruth Lee, the one-man show. You're different because you feed into a bigger program.
Yeah.
But if those guys retire in this day and age, and there's probably many of them like that, is that just going to be the end of these programs? Do you think they'll replace it? Eric, you said that there's no talk of demolishing your program because of all the other things.
There's talk of the two-year program being gone, at least the turf side of it.
I mean, does anybody have any opinion on that? I mean, is that going to one-man show going to disappear with retirement?
See, SIU might be the one to watch for that. John, with Ken retiring, they brought in a gentleman named Sam Pinderaska, and they asked him to overview the whole program for the next 3 years. And that's probably going to be your flag to see, because when I was in Chicago, I went down and met with the department chair and said, look, the University of Illinois and all, like, they were going to close their truck program, so you have an opportunity to be the only two. I think I was talking to the wall. And it wasn't her, it was the dean, and Sam said that the dean has been horrific. Now, Illinois might be a little bit different in its budgetary situation than one case, but at the same time, that could be a standard bearer to see what would happen with it. And I would suspect the negative is going to be helping end up.
Yeah, John, I mean, I'm one man band, I'm Delhi.
Challenge. I had a student work at Lancaster Country Club, and he'd say he had a good, great, couple years ago, had a great experience. They said, you know, Doc, I just didn't like waking up that early. I said, okay, but he's stuck with the major, and he's not working in golf, though. He's the head grounds manager at a retirement community, like 50, 60-some acres, you know, 300,000 or 400,000 units. He's still in the green industry, but he's in the landscape management, grounds management part of it.
And that's what I really, really tried to push a lot of my students towards is those other opportunities in the green industry. But man, it's like
we've seen a huge shift. We used to be 80% golf. Now we're 70% sports turf. And I think it's a lot about, you know, the millennials and what they're experiencing in high school. They're experiencing high school sports. So that's, you know, okay, what did you do in high school? I played baseball. Oh, that's why you're interested in turf. And that's really what happens. So, and it's a good thing that there are more and more jobs in the sports turf industry with how the profession has gotten more and more professional. So, anyway.
Any other questions?